Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Feeling like you need a punch of energy? Enter Wonderful Pistachios. I love them. The snack that packs a protein punch, and the best part, they come in so many flavors and so many sizes. Whether you're on the go or chilling at home, Wonderful Pistachios, they're the go-to snack for me. Here's the real kicker, the protein. These little wonders are one of the highest protein nuts out there. Just 1 ounce serves up a whopping 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. So visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. I love them. Thanks for listening to the Best of the Herd podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday on Fox Sports Radio at noon to 3 Eastern, 9 a.m. to noon Pacific. Find your local station for the Herd at FoxSportsRadio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Fox Sports Radio or FSR.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go on a Thursday live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Thanks for making us part of your day. J-Mac, Joel Klatt in 1 hour. We're going to argue about all these college quarterbacks, some getting love, some getting criticized, some rising, some falling in the draft, J-Mac. But I have an NFL team that's been pretty good. They could make a pretty big mistake here very soon. I think you know who I'm talking about.
I have no clue who you're talking about. I thought you would lead with happy opening day, happy Sweet 16 day, and you're hitting me with the draft. I wasn't ready, but I'll be ready.
So no matter how big a company or an industry is, it's always led by two or three things. Even at this company, not everything makes big money. Fox News, Tubi drives a lot of revenue. The S&P 500 last year, 2023, the S&P 500, all those companies, 75% of the returns were seven companies last year. Amazon, Alphabet, Apple, Meta, Microsoft, Nvidia, and Tesla. Tesla has since tanked. That's it. 75% of the returns on some tech companies. Everybody else bleeding, plateauing, not doing well. All companies are led by two or three things. And that brings me to the 49ers, who, according to their owner, are going now to pay Brock Purdy and give him a, quote, massive extension. Here is the owner, Jed York.
It's a good problem when your quarterback is one of your highest paid guys on your team and in the league. It's what the market is.
It's what the market is. What's Brock Purdy's market? The Niners are at a very fragile point, and I'm not sure they understand it. The fact that Brock Purdy is cheap slash free allows a stacked roster, and they've missed badly on enough draft picks. They're actually perilously thin. Trey Lance, whiff. Javon Kinlaw, whiff. Couple of third-round running backs, whiff, whiff. Danny Gray, wide receiver, whiff. Outside of left tackle, Trent Williams. It's not a very good offensive line. They've missed on too many. They're becoming very much the Dallas Cowboys. And the Cowboys, about 6-7 years ago, before they paid Dak the big money, you had that feeling, right? Ooh, it looks special. Super Bowl team. But once they paid a good quarterback great money, the Cowboys are no longer Super Bowl viable. It's all fool's gold. They had to let go of a Dalton Schultz and Amari Cooper. Dallas got thin in spots and one or two injuries, and it all came crumbling down. This 49er machine, just like the S&P 500, is driven by three things. Kyle Shanahan's scheme, Brock Purdy's free, and Christian McCaffrey is dominant. And if you think it's about defense, the Niners' defense gets carved up by good offenses. It's not the defense. It's not the defense that leads them. It's getting older, and there's holes. Kyle Shanahan has won 75% of his games with Christian McCaffrey. He's under 500 without Christian McCaffrey. And how long can you give this kid 200 and 300 touches? I'm not saying if you pay Brock Purdy, it's going to come tumbling down like a Jenga game, but it's going to look a lot like the Cowboys. Very, very thin. And about the time January hits, you don't really match up with a Kansas City, a Baltimore, a Buffalo, maybe a Detroit and a Green Bay going forward. You don't quite have the pieces. You know, you lost that one receiver. Your tight end's banged up. Trent Williams can't play. That's the Cowboys. Three or four great players and really, really thin after that. Essentially, Brock Purdy is like free shipping for Amazon. It makes the model work. You double and triple that Amazon shipping, their stock ends up probably looking more like Tesla. Every major business, they call it the Magnificent Seven. The S&P 500 are a big chunk of our economy, seven companies. And they don't always hit year after year after year. Alphabet, Amazon, Apple, Meta, Microsoft, Nvidia, Tesla, and Tesla's in the tank. Just a handful drive even the biggest machines. Brock Purdy being free is a big driver of that. So, you know, I try one of the things I have done through the course of time, when social media exploded about 10 years ago, I played a lot with it. But, I just kind of got tired of giving lonely, angry, silly people oxygen. So I sort of avoid it now and I just use it for marketing. And, you know, I saw a story, a headline. Fans are losing their minds after Caleb Williams reveals painted nails and a pink phone. Apparently, during the women's basketball game for USC, I watched parts of the game. I saw him. I did not see that. We have a still shot of that. This is another example of headline doesn't match reality. I do not believe 95% of fans care, 95% of media cares, and 0% of NFL general managers care. I think this is the media giving oxygen to lonely people on Reddit boards. Stop. Every 3 weeks, every 2 weeks, every week there's a new boycott in America. Oh boy, 12 people drive it. Take a deep breath. We're all going to be okay. Now, as a parent, there are things I worry about, and it's something I talk about, you know, all the time. What do I let pass? What do I get more restrictive on as a parent? And for a quarterback, there are things I think are important. I think that Wednesday press conference or right after the game, looking the camera in the eye, diffusing noise, playing nice with the media, giving teammates credit. Eli Manning's one of the best ever. Dak Prescott, Brady, they're Hall of Famers at the podium. And there is noise and trouble and controversy looming every week in the NFL. So the quarterbacks that can step to that podium after a game or midweek Wednesday and diffuse it and separate things and clarify things, I think that's important. That's my hat on forward theory. But how you dress, your nails, the color of your phone, who you date. I'm sorry, but Chicago loved Dennis Rodman. I think they're going to be okay with a pink phone from Caleb Williams, who was on our show last week and said, Chicago, if you draft me, here I come.
They love football, so if that's the place, I'm excited for that. The fans love football. It's one of the you know, biggest things that I care about is a place that cares. And so, you know, if that was the place, I'd be excited and you know, get ready to go win games is what I'm excited for, most importantly.
Some of this stuff is generational. The music athletes listen to, some of the friends they hang out with, who they date, what they wear. I'm sorry, it changes. I look at people my age wearing golf shirts everywhere and Hawaiian shirts, and I think, I don't want to fall into that. Why don't I just wear sweats to work and drive a minivan? I mean, we all make choices, right? It all fits us or doesn't fit us. People make judgments on us, what we wear. I'm not going to get caught up on that. I do think in a city like Chicago that gets real noisy, you do need the right coach and quarterback to diffuse these five-alarm fires that happen about every third week. That, I think, is a substantial gift. Again, Dak, Kirk Cousins, Eli Manning, Brady, Russell Wilson mostly has been very, very good at that. Like, let's just, you know, bring the heat down, bring the temperature down. But I, just like being a parent, you know, just certain things I'm not going to helicopter on. You know what I mean? You stay away from as much trouble as you can off the field. I don't ask for perfection from my kids. I don't helicopter. Occasionally, I have to step in and make a choice. This doesn't bother me whatsoever. J-Mac, many may disagree, but there was also last night something happening we talked about yesterday to start the show. There's about 8-10 games after the trade deadline in the NBA, regular season games, and you feel like, oh, that's something. That's a real, I thought that Laker performance by AD, the Lakers won again last night. Mm-hmm. I thought, boy, that really is Anthony Davis saying, okay, this is my team. We're now 7-4, 6-4 without LeBron. I can dominate and beat a good team on the road trailing by 20 late. Yeah. There was a game last night that people may think is that, but I'm here to tell you it's not.
I have an idea where you're going. Can I go back to the vocal minority that you talked about?
Yeah.
These are the guys who I call dopes, you know, and meatballs. They're online trying to make something a thing. I was blissfully unaware of the pink phone case and fingernails. Like, who would notice that and be like, that's just bad. I don't want my quarterback doing it. Like, who, trying to get into the psychology.
Whoever it is, we shouldn't give them oxygen.
I 1,000% agree.
Non-story.
I'm sorry.
We address it. We diffuse it. It's silly. It doesn't matter. The idea as a parent, or as an owner of a sports thing, that I'm going to control personal habits, dress style. Give me a break. I mean, James Harden's always been quirky. Dennis Rodman was quirky. There's been a lot of quirky players that do. That's their personality. Some of these people are, I mean, there's multiple brain types. Some people are creative. Some people are artists. Some people are very independent. Some people are eccentric. Yeah. Some, and by the way, they do Wunderlich tests. They do personality tests on this. Yeah. I'm not asking for like 55 football players that go to bed at night at 8 o'clock. Lawrence Taylor's one of the great defensive players of all time. And there are nights he didn't sleep. Yeah. There are nights Rodman didn't sleep. I don't care. They showed up and gave me great production.
Do you remember what you were doing at 21, 22 years old?
I was
a guy
fire.
Who had double hoop earrings.
I saw the picture.
And then I dyed my hair blonde for like 2 months.
I saw that picture too.
And it was fun. It was like, oh, I'm going to experiment and do cool stuff and look different. And like, you know, it meant nothing in the grand scheme of things. But if I had approached you with the blonde hair, would you have been like, you're not getting hired, bro? It's not.
I would have said, herdline news, we're going to go in a different direction. But I wouldn't have hired somebody that was 21. So the point being is, you know, Caleb Williams is 22 years old. If he's got some quirks and he's got some things and he's funny and artistic, it's just part of it.
Yeah.
But I've always believed this. Kirk Cousins is a conservative guy. He has a conservative game. A Tom Brady, more of a conservative guy, got a conservative game. If you find quarterbacks who are more impulsive or ad-libbing, and I would say Caleb Williams very much a playmaker and an ad-libber, don't be shocked if he's a bit of an expressive personality.
Yeah.
Because his game matches his personality. He's an expressive person, therefore his game's a little expressive.
Remember Cam Newton, some of the podium
Cam Newton was, again,
had
a lot of ad-libbing, very expressive playmaking personality. Yeah. So that's okay. Like, that's your game, your personality becomes your game to some degree.
We've seen Joe Burrow, right? He's got all this swag and he's wearing certain shades and he's trying to look cool. Like, how about all these NBA players that enter the arena? It's like a thing that you've got to dress up for that photo op.
That's been like
and you got to wear
years.
Something cool and different. And
I get it.
Like, people are freaking out for no reason.
Yeah.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, CJ.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't Nick?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So whether you're heading out to explore a new trail or looking to set a personal best on your daily run, start your journey off right with the high performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Discover the power of advanced nutrition for strength and stamina at ProPlanSport.com. That's ProPlanSport.com. You're now entering the No Bull Zone, sponsored by Credible Great Rates. None of the bull. So Kevin Durant had 30 last night. Was absolutely great on the defensive side of the floor. He had 5 blocks. Anybody that he guarded for Denver went 2-10. So I said yesterday there are certain games, not many, a half dozen, 6, 7, 8, in the regular season after the trade deadline that you watch and you go, boy, that feels like it means something. I thought Anthony Davis, his performance and the Lakers' performance without LeBron against Milwaukee was really a staggeringly efficient win, proving, illustrating, listen, AD's the best player on the team. Austin Reeves and D'Lo play very well with AD, not always with LeBron. And now the king on this Laker team is really consistently, defensively, offensively, it's Anthony Davis. And it felt big against Milwaukee, start of a very tough road trip. So yesterday the Suns beat Denver, the champs, right? And Denver had been red hot. I think they've won like 18 of 21 games after the trade deadline, mostly because of the best team in the league. And Phoenix last night goes into Denver. Oh, my God, they torch him. Don't be fooled. Phoenix's last game, they lost to maybe the worst team in the league, San Antonio, that didn't have their best player, Wemby. It was humiliating. So they came out guns blazing, led by 7 at half, 10 after 3. I watched it. They had great energy. Meanwhile, Denver rested their second-best scorer, on some nights their best, Jamal Murray. Why? Because they're playing Minnesota tomorrow for the number one seed in the West and home court advantage. The NBA is too long. Teams and stars pick their spots. I went to a Celtics-Bulls game Saturday in Chicago. Boston rested 3 of their best 4 players. They wouldn't have done that in a big game against a team like a Milwaukee, if it mattered. But they did against the Bulls. So Phoenix played their 3 top stars. KD was remarkable. Tremendous defensively. 5 blocks. Anybody he guarded, he shut down. I think the bigger picture I'm getting from Kevin Durant is he doesn't want this whole thing, this divorce from Golden State, to be Brady Belichick. And doesn't it feel a little bit like any success Kevin Durant has had as a winning player is tied to Steph. Steph won a title before KD. He won a title after KD. LeBron's won everywhere. KD has won singularly with Steph Curry. Yeah, he can win the MVP, but the soul of the franchise, beginning to now, is Steph Curry. And I do think KD's legacy, though I kind of feel he's a top 20 player ever, I think it's going to get dinged a little bit because this Phoenix team was supposed to be really, really special. I thought they'd be the number two team in the West, play Denver in the Western Conference Finals. And they've been a massive disappointment. Massive disappointment. Booker, excellent player. KD, an all-timer. Bradley Beal, B+, A-, very good player. Grayson Allen off the bench, not very good. And so I do think KD sort of senses we can't give away games. The next 7 to 8 weeks for KD, I think fair or not, he has to play really, really well and carry this team through a couple series.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, gang, this is Jay Glazer, host of Unbreakable, a mental wealth podcast. And every week we will have on leaders from sports, entertainment, like Sean McVay, Lindsey Vonn, Michael Phelps, David Spade, Guy Fieri, and also those who can help us in between the ears. Anyone from a therapist to someone like Ed Mylett or John Gordon. We've all been through some sort of adversity. To get to the top, we've all used different tools. Listen to Unbreakable with Jay Glazer, a mental wealth podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top of it.
Like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So whether you're heading out to explore a new trail or looking to set a personal best on your daily run, start your journey off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Discover the power of advanced nutrition for strength and stamina at ProPlanSport.com. That's ProPlanSport.com. All right, here we go. Hour number two, live in Los Angeles. It's The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, thanks for making us part of your day. Now, mock drafts are everywhere. Joel Klatt in 5 minutes will have his too. But we are 4 weeks out, J-Mac. And I think one of the things, it's not just the best players. It's about needs. It's about fit. It's about cultural styles. Jim Harbaugh, in my opinion, is all about, he mentioned it yesterday, building up an offensive line to play power football, protect Justin Herbert, and run the ball. They were 25th in rushing last year. So I think about everything. Why? What does Harbaugh like to do? What do the Jets need to elevate the guy running the franchise, Aaron Rodgers? So this is going to be, I'm going 1 through 12. I've given it a lot of thought, made calls, contacted sources. Are you ready?
Trades. Come on.
You know you can have trades.
You can have
trades. Anytime you have a lot of quarterbacks in the top 15, you're going to have trades.
Okay. Fair enough.
When you got defensive linemen, unless there's like a Hutchinson or something like that kind of play, we don't have a dominant defensive player this year. We've got good ones. But this is really an offensive draft. It's offensive tackles, wide receivers, quarterbacks.
Yeah.
That's what this draft is. And it is the best offensive tackle draft ever.
You could have seven of them in the first round.
Yeah. There's another seven in the second round. So it's a great offensive tackle draft, and a lot of teams need it. So here we go, my mock draft. All right, Chicago Bears number one are going to take, and Ryan Poles has shifted this the last year to offense. They're going to take Caleb Williams. They bring in Keenan Allen, DeAndre Swift, Gerald Everett, last year DJ Moore. Poles, a former offensive lineman, started building up this offensive line 3 years ago with draft capital. This team will be offensively productive with a playmaker, the only college player the last 2 years that had 10 rushing touchdowns each year at least, and at least 30 passing touchdowns. With a bad O-line at Southern Cal, he goes number one. Number two, the Commanders take big, strong, and sturdy Drake May. Bad offensive line. Sam Howell got sacked more than any quarterback. You're not going to go for a spindly quarterback in cold weather. They need a Justin Herbert clone. 6'4 to 6'4.5. 225 pounds, big arm, can move. This is not a great O-line. He's going to get bumped around. The last thing you need is a 200, 205-pound quarterback. Drake May goes second. I don't know if it'll work, but the New England Patriots need playmakers. They don't have him on the outside, and Jaden Daniels is a playmaker. He's got some Lamar Jackson. He'll run around. He'll throw it around. Listen, they're sub-500 by 9 games since Brady left, and he actually fits. I just don't know if Jared Mayo offensively can get him where he needs to be, but they just don't have enough speed and playmakers, so you might as well go put it at quarterback and see what transpires. By the way, Lamar Jackson didn't have a great receiving core until this year, and they won a lot of games. Patriots get Jaden Daniels. This feels like an easy one. Marvin Harrison, an all-time college receiver, goes to Arizona. They lost Hollywood Brown. Kyler Murray's got a star running back, a tight end he likes. He needs a number one receiver. Harrison's personality is a bit quiet and reticent. That's fine. Kyler will wake up with it. He's in the headlines. They need a great playmaker, and I think this guy's in the Randy Moss, Calvin Johnson prototype of a star day one in the NFL. The Chargers trade down with Minnesota and get both of their first-round picks. This is what Jim Harbaugh, I'm told, wants, and the Vikings select J.J. McCarthy, who will sit a year behind Kevin O'Connell, great left tackle, run back, two receivers. This is an offensive division. Darnold's not the long-term future, but like an Alex Smith with Mahomes, he'll be a great mentor for a year. I think J.J. McCarthy is a B-plus prospect, but in Minnesota with this coach and these pieces, I think he can have real success. The New York Giants are going to take Malik Nabers, who is like Odell Beckham, but I think more durable. They just don't have enough weapons. They don't have playmakers. They were 30th in scoring, and I don't think they want the fifth best quarterback in this draft. I don't think Bo Nix for them works here, or Michael Penix works here. Darren Waller, the tight end, is considering retirement. Saquon Barkley is gone. They got to give Daniel Jones something to work with, and they don't want to take a huge cap hit. And this kid can fly. He's got some Odell Beckham, but a little bit faster and maybe more durable. This feels pretty easy. Titans take Joe Alt, Notre Dame tackle. They got a bad O-line. The only way Will Levis is going to succeed, whether he does or not, is if he has some protection. He's athletic. I think he played a little tight end in high school. A dominant left tackle in a draft filled with them. Titans take Joe Alt. This feels pretty easy, too. They got the O-line, receiver, quarterback, running back, tight end fixed. I think the Falcons take Dallas Turner, best rush edge in the draft. They haven't had like a double-digit sack guy since Vic Beasley. So this team actually, and it's a defensive coach. Defensive coaches, D'Amico Ryan had a couple of first-round picks. He got a quarterback, and he got an edge rusher. All right, this guy got Kirk Cousins. He's going to go get an edge rusher. Again, they don't get double-digit sacks. They haven't had anybody since like 2016 and Vic Beasley. I think after getting Caleb Williams, the Bears would like to trade down. There's no takers, and they take Jared Verse, Florida State, defensive edge. Can't have a good enough pass rush when you're facing the Lions, offensive line, and all those receivers and skilled people for the Packers. They got to get Montez Sweat some help. They got a great corner, one defensive lineman. Let's get a second one. They only had 50 sacks last year under Matt Eberflus, 12 fewer than any other team. So Montez Sweat is the beginning. I think they'll go and get another edge rusher potentially later in the draft. They got older tackles, so I think the Jets get Rome Odunze from Washington. Garrett Wilson is their one. Mike Williams is good, but can't stay healthy. Alan Lazard's more of a 3 to a 4. This kid will walk in very comfortably, be a 2, big catching radius. Also an adult, a very disciplined, focused, hardworking player. No distractions from a noisy franchise. I think he will really work in New York. Rome Odunze, who I watched play 10 games this year, impact very early. The Chargers, who moved down to 11 in that trade with the Vikings, go offensive line, maybe the best interior run-blocking tackle in the draft. You can move him inside or at right tackle. The Chargers take from Oregon State, Talisi Fuaga. He's just a mauler. Lost very few snaps all season. Just mauled people. And one of the best run blockers in the class. They may slide him inside, probably keep him right. This is a team that couldn't rush last year, and I don't buy into a wide receiver with the Chargers. They want more picks. They want to get physical. I think later in the first round, they'll take an edge rusher or a defensive tackle. And at number 12, the Broncos trade down. They need more players. The Seahawks move up and take Michael Penix, the quarterback from Washington. He can stay in the same town. The Seahawks offensive coordinator was Michael Penix, offensive coordinator in college. Seattle doesn't owe Geno Smith any money next year. I think he throws the prettiest ball in the draft, including Caleb Williams. I think he throws a beautiful football. He gets his coordinator. You can say it's a bit of a reach, but Seattle's got their pieces. They've got corners. They've got two backs, multiple receivers, a left tackle, linebackers. Seattle's got a lot of pieces here. I think they have the ability to give up some draft capital to take a guy who throws an absolutely beautiful ball. Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, tight ends. Seattle's ready to win. So there is my first round. A couple of moves. I think Denver at 12 moves back. Just a couple of spots. So if they want to get Bo Nix, they can. But they need a second round pick. They need draft capital because they got about 6 needs. And I think the Chargers desperately want back. They get 2 first with Minnesota. Joel Klatt has his own mock draft. But let's bring him on right now to discuss a few things here. Some of the stuff felt like Atlanta, Tennessee, Chicago. I kind of feel those aren't even right. Like you kind of agree with those, right? Those three feel right, don't they?
Yeah. No, I agree with a lot of what you just did there. I felt like maybe you were copying some of the things that I may have done in my mock draft, but that's, you know what? That's fine. That's fine. Smart people do that sort of thing. I would say that this Vikings move up for JJ McCarthy seems to me through this process, talking with people, to be not just like a good idea or have some momentum behind it, but seems almost imminent, Colin, that the Vikings are going to make this move. And I think that they may have to go up to 4 because of teams trying to get into that top 4. And I think that we're going to have 4 quarterbacks taken right off the top, right in a row, 1, 2, 3, 4 in this draft.
No college football analyst, other than the voice of the Michigan Wolverine, saw J.J. McCarthy more than Joel Klatt. You know, when they decide against Penn State to not let him throw, people are like, whoa. My thing is, I think Caleb would succeed anywhere. Andrew Luck, Trevor Lawrence. But I think most of these young guys succeed based on where they land. If I'm J.J. McCarthy, this feels like perfect. You saw him a lot. Are there one or two things that you are a little hesitant if the fit wasn't perfect?
That's a great question. So first of all, yes. I mean, and just to give you some level of backing on, I saw him a lot. I saw him 16 times the last three seasons.
Wow.
So I've seen every, you know, basically every snap that he's taken, and he's grown a lot. I think my one question, and it's more of a question rather than a knock on him, is that the volume of times that he was asked to do what Michael Penix did, which was stand in the pocket and control the game from the pocket and a full field read down the field, was not nearly the volume that Penix did that. Penix did it, you know, 15, 20 times per game this last year, and McCarthy maybe did it 4 to 6 times per game. That type of rep volume is not in his bag. Now, having said that, when you watch J.J. McCarthy's game, and as he's grown and as he's matured, what you're going to see is a guy that totally impacts the game in a positive way for his team in crucial situations, and namely on third down. You know, when you watch first and second down, you get lulled into the Michigan way and the Michigan philosophy and their schematics, Colin, and they're going to run the football and they're going to do what Michigan does. And then on third down, a lot of it was like, okay, JJ, now it's in your court. And the reason that they went 15-0 and the reason that they won the national championship was that they had a player that could go above the X's and O's in the moments that they needed him to, namely on third down and third and long. And when you watch those cut-ups, you can immediately see and feel why these GMs and decision makers in the NFL are falling in love with JJ McCarthy. They want players that can do that. And quarterbacks in the National Football League crunch time have to do that, and he can.
You know, Marvin Harrison's dad was, you know, very reluctant. He was a guy, I've heard stories that after practice, he'd go home, he wouldn't shower. Like, he did his own thing. So, you know, so when I hear about Marvin Harrison, again, no college football analyst has seen more Marvin Harrison than you.
Yeah.
I kind of put him in that Randy Moss, Calvin Johnson. He just looks different. It's just like Jamar Chase. You were like, okay, that's a Sunday player playing on Saturday. I don't know. I don't see a huge weakness with Harrison. Maybe he's not a burner. What do you think?
No, I mean, listen, when you go to the GPS numbers, so they wear the catapult system. Everybody does, right? So the 40 is basically irrelevant. I know that the combine is basically a made-for-TV event. Yeah. Pro days are totally worthless. If you want to know how fast a player is, then you go to the data that is collected by the university on the field through the catapult system. It's a little device that everybody wears, whether it's practice or games. So in the GPS system, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr.'s speed is excellent. Excellent game playing speed. I did see him a lot. I don't think it's Megatron, Randy Moss. Those guys just physically dominated the game.
Yeah.
Physically, they were just bigger, faster than the people around them. Harrison is just cleaner than everybody around him. He is a tactician in a lot of ways, and he has studied the game. And talking with Brian Hartline a lot, who's the best wide receiver coach in college football and probably will be a great, you know, NFL coach at some point, he talks a lot about the information you give with your route to the defender. And everybody to a man at Ohio State, including all the former wide receivers. So we're talking about Jackson Smith and Jigba and Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave and Brian Hartline as coach. All of them say the exact same thing, which is nobody did it better or cleaner than Marvin Harrison Jr. This is why he can impact the game in such a positive way for his team on big downs and impactful downs, third downs. Watch his tape last year against Joey Porter Jr., an excellent top-end NFL draft corner, and he just owned him. Why? Because he runs exquisite routes, and then he capitalizes once the ball is there. Great hands, great body control, all of it. I didn't cover Randy Moss and Calvin Johnson. I have not covered in person a better wide receiver in college football than Marvin Harrison Jr.
So, tight ends are interesting. A lot of the ones that got hyped in my life, Kyle Pitts, there was a kid out of Penn State, Brady. I forget the first, Kyle Brady. It may have been Kyle Brady. And you watch him, and it's like they were dominant in college, and you watch him in the NFL, and you're like, oh. And then George Kittle comes from Iowa. Iowa, just like a machine, just gives us tight ends every year.
Sam LaPorta.
Yeah, and the reason it is because Iowa really makes their tight ends block. And that is often the difference, is these guys run around. And Utah, by the way, with Kincaid, Dalton Kincaid, Utah makes their tight ends block. So I don't know if Georgia does or not. I look at Brock. You have him going to the Chargers, and I just think Jim's going to go meat grinder. Anything about Brock Bowers that screams, watch out, Kyle Pitts, it may not be what you think.
No, I think that he's better in line as a blocker than Pitts was. The reason I love him to the Chargers is because I don't think Jim is going to change his MO. I think that the way that he wants to play and the way that he wants to move the ball on offense is pretty clear. It's been clear ever since he was at Stanford, and then it was clear when he was at San Francisco, and then it's been clear when he's at Michigan. And what he values is mauling offensive linemen and tight ends. He loves to play with multiple tight ends, and the only way you can play with multiple tight ends and get away with it at the NFL level is if one of them can have the ability to flex, and that's certainly Brock Bowers. Now, it's great when they can do both, and I think that he can, but what gets lost in I think at least, in the coverage of the NFL is how important it is to have a really great tight end. Look at the last 8 Super Bowl champions, and here's what you're going to see. Is you're going to see that there's an offensive threat. Now, whether it's a slot like a Cooper Kupp or a tight end like Gronkowski or Kelce, you're going to see an offensive threat that can own the middle of the field. Imperative. It's imperative that you have that player. Nobody wins a Super Bowl because their best offensive player is an outside wide receiver. That doesn't happen. I think that the number one wide receiver in the National Football League is severely overvalued, and we undervalue tight ends and middle-of-the-field controllers. That's why I value Brock Bowers so high. That's why I think that the Chargers will look at him, in particular with the philosophy of what Jim Harbaugh does. And if they were to trade back, which I have them doing, taking Bowers, they would still have the opportunity to get an offensive lineman with a second first-round pick after trading back in order to get Bowers and an offensive lineman. Now you get the best tight end in the draft. You can get an offensive lineman that can do exactly what Fuaga can do from Oregon State. And I think then the Chargers are really set up to do what Harbaugh wants to do. And it's pretty clear to me, his MO is not going to change. He has won the exact same way everywhere that he's been, and he's going to do that with the Chargers as well.
All right, if we have mock draft for Joel Klatt, put it up. We do have a lot of similarities, but I do think a lot of this, half of these picks, I feel like very secure in them. I think, you know, I like Tennessee needs a tackle. Atlanta needs an edge rusher. Chicago needs a quarterback. Yep. We've got some differences here. You have a tight end of the Chargers. You have Bo Nix. I think Denver's going to trade out of it and still get Bo Nix. 5 picks later with Seattle, I do think Bo Nix is the fit here. He got a very Drew Brees history where he moves really well, which Drew did early. Drew moved early in his career. Later, he didn't. But I think we're mostly onto this stuff. I will tell you, the Caleb Williams stuff, apparently he had fingernail polish and a pink phone at a women's basketball game, and the internet imploded. And I said, listen, it's generational. What you wear, what you eat, who you date. I do think quarterbacks need to, after games and at that podium on Wednesday, diffuse noise, give teammates credit. You know, I banged on Baker for years. Like, dude, you're starting fires, not putting them out. Right? He fired.
Wait, you did?
Yeah, yeah. People have suggested I did.
No, you didn't.
But he did get better at it.
So you're fine with the fingernail polish and the pink phone, but the backwards hat is a bridge too far.
It way too far, but it doesn't, all the other stuff doesn't, does it bother you?
No, it doesn't. I mean, it's today's version of Joe Namath's white shoes and fur coat. That's what it is, right? I mean, so it doesn't bother me. And when you actually listen to Caleb, you know, people love to draw conclusions based on you know, whether it's him with his family when he was getting emotional after a game or his fingernail polish or whatever it is. When you actually listen to him in interviews, you get a guy that is much more grounded and team-oriented than you perceive from the outside. to your point about diffusing on Wednesday, diffusing from the podium. Caleb, evaluating Caleb, let's just break it out like this. And you're not doing the intangibles like leadership and everything. And I'm just like creating an on-field evaluation. You're evaluating, you know, how does he deal with the schematics of the game in his mind? How does he control the game from the pocket? What's his arm talent like? Can he create and move in order to create? And then can he be a threat with his legs? Those are really the five quarterback traits that I'm looking at when evaluating guys. He is the only guy in the 10 years that I've been covering the NFL draft that I have given an elite grade in all five categories. Nobody gets an elite grade in all five categories. So all this talk about like, well, why is Caleb Williams such a great prospect? That's why, because he can do every single thing on the field and he can do it at an elite level. Controlling the game from the pocket, his arm talent, creating outside, his schematic knowledge of the game, where to go with the football, his threat with his legs. This is why he's going to go number one. This is why we have all been salivating for a year and a half about this player entering the National Football League. If Patrick Mahomes is the best player on the face of the planet, and we know what he was in college, this, at this time in college, is a better version of that type of a player. That's why I love Caleb Williams, and that's why I am firmly in belief that he's the best prospect in this draft.
Now, by the way, you're calling the UFL opener, Stallions, Arlington Renegade, Saturday at 1 Eastern. Do you believe, you're down there now, you just talked to Sark, you're down in Austin, do you believe there will be, if I watch that game, you've seen some of these guys in college. Are there like NFL-level players in this stuff? And if so, at what positions?
No, there's no doubt. Yeah, there's no doubt. Well, just think of it with the league split XFL and USFL. We've had two all pros in the USFL over the last couple of years. You had Kevontae Turpin and Brandon Aubrey. Now I get it. One of them's a kicker, but there are NFL players in the UFL, and the UFL is going to be the best version of spring football that we have seen, period. And the reason is because these two leagues with 16 teams coming down to 8 teams and merging together, it is condensing the talent, which means we're going to have a better crop of offensive linemen overall, and we're going to have a better crop of quarterbacks overall. And that's actually where I see some of these guys getting NFL chances, is at the quarterback position. We saw Alex Magoo last year being the Birmingham quarterback, led him to a championship. Now he's been with the Green Bay Packers and now on their practice squad. Other guys like Case Cookus, I think McCarron could be back into the league. Matt Corral is a talented player from Ole Miss that could get himself back into the league. Jordan Ta'amu. These are really good players. And like I said, the UFL is in a position right now after the XFL-USFL merger to put the best product on the field that we've seen in spring football yet.
Yeah, no, I think you're right here. We have two leagues. It may have been a bit diluted. You combine them. I would make an argument, every pro league in this country should have fewer teams. When you do that, the teams get better. So I'm excited to watch it. I watched last year and I said, you're not going to find necessarily offensive linemen here. Backs, receivers, corners, kickers, quarterbacks, linebackers. You watch it. There's like NFL bodies out here. Joel Klatt, who, by the way, you were in Austin. There's no way you went to Austin and didn't stop by to see Sark. Tell me you did.
Well, that's why I went to Austin. So I interviewed Sark. I've got a whole new crop of Big Noon Conversations coming to the podcast for this summer. And I sat down with Sark for 30 minutes. It was a really good interview. Watched their practice. That's going to be one of the best four teams in the country next year. They're going to be really good.
Did he say he misses me? You know, I used to see him occasionally.
You know, oddly, he didn't mention you, but I think it was just an oversight. I'm sure it was just an oversight.
By the way, I did not rip off your mock draft, but I do think we think alike.
No, that's fine. No, that's an indictment. If I'm hearing that, that's an indictment. You might think of it as a compliment, but that's fine.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into that. Let's be friends in the off season. There's no reason to have any of this turf war. Border skirmish here in March.
That's fun. You know what we got to do? You know what I think would be fun? And what? I think your listeners would like, because people have asked me that. I need to come in and we'll do the one-for-one mock draft.
Oh, yeah, we did that.
Mock draft
we did
back
that.
And forth. We should do that again.
Are you if you're available and not out on the town, why don't you come up here and do stuff? I'm here grinding
out on the town.
Yeah, I'm grinding on the treadmill every day. You're out there hanging out with Sark and you know, whatever.
Yeah, in glorious hotel rooms in the spring, grinding. You know what? That's fine. It's great to see you, brother.
All right, Joel Klatt.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlansport.com.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.